Evening, brethren. Good to be back with you again. We're turning in our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 26, continuing on as we have done as usual. We're going to read verses 22 to 28. 22 to 28 of Proverbs 26, but we'll only be looking at verses 22 and 23 this evening, really. But for the context, Proverbs 26, verse 22, says these words: "The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips, and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein. He that rolleth a stone, it will return upon him. A lying tongue hateth those that are afflicted by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin." Amen, and the Lord will bless the reading of that portion of his inspired word to us. We started in Proverbs 26 a while ago just to look at what this chapter in this wisdom book teaches, and it teaches us wisdom. And this is the ninth or tenth message on the chapter. But the first half of this chapter focuses on merely two characters. The first character is the fool, and the second character is the sluggard. The fool. The passage teaches a lot about the fool. The fool, when people honour a fool, that is out of place, verse 1. Don't worry about the fool's cursing mouth, verse 2, because it all comes to nothing. And then verse 3 teaches us how to control a fool. A fool is only controlled with punishment or the threat or administration of physical violence. That is what the Bible teaches. A rod is made for a fool's back in the same way as a bridle is made for a horse. It's how you control a horse, how you control a fool. Then verses 4 and 5, when not to and when to answer a fool. Verse 6, this fool is useless as a messenger. Verse 7, he's useless as an orator. Verse 8, he's useless practically. Verse 9, he ends up hurt. Verse 10, he gets his just deserts. And verse 11, the fool keeps returning to his own folly. And then verse 12, we learned that there is someone that's even worse than a fool. And that person is someone who is a man who's wise in his own eyes, wise in his own conceit. So a fool who thinks he's wise is even worse than a fool. And then the slothful. We've only been a couple of weeks on the slothful. There's not as much on the slothful as the fool in this chapter. But verse 13, the slothful man or woman or boy or girl hates work and makes preposterous excuses as to why he won't go out of the house. There's danger outside. There's a lion in the streets. So I'm going to hide inside and keep myself safe. Quite forgetting that one person in every 114 people in the world will die by falling inside their own house. So actually staying inside your own house. One in every 17,000 people in Northern Ireland have died of COVID. One in 134 people will die falling in their own house. It's about 50 times as dangerous to stay at home, because it's more dangerous than what COVID is. So that's just a fact. But anyway, let me move on. That's not even in my notes. The sluggard makes preposterous excuses as to why he won't go out. There's danger outside. No, there's more danger inside, actually. The sluggard loves his ease, verse 14. The sluggard, verse 15, won't even look after himself. It grieves him to bring his own hand to his own mouth to feed himself. That's what the Bible says. And he's conceited in his own self-image, verse 16. And then the rest of the teaching of the chapter, Proverbs 26, is made up of various characters that we have termed or titled various troublemakers. There's the meddler, verse 17. The person that likes to get involved with trouble that's not his own. And the person that does that, God says, he is like a man that grabs a dog by the ears. He's going to be hurt, isn't he? And then verse 18 and 19, the sinful joker. And it's not all jokers. Joking is a good thing. But the sinful joker, I purposely called it that. The careless, thoughtless, dangerous things that sometimes people say, and quite often cruel, and then they afterwards as an excuse say, I was only joking. Then verse 20 to 22, the gossip. We looked at him a little bit last time. The gossip is like dangerous, like a fire that needs to be put out or removed in the company. And then verse 21, as coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Here's this contentious man. And what happens if you've got a fire and you add coal to it? It makes it worse. Or as wood to fire, if you add more logs to the fire, it makes it bigger. So a contentious man makes any dispute bigger instead of solving it if he gets involved. Now, verses 22 to 25, we focus in more detail on this character that the Bible calls the talebearer. And the modern term for that is the gossip. Now, the gossip and the contentious man can both be viewed, and they overlap, they're intertwined in a way. But there are four points on the gossip that this passage makes. I'm only going to give you two tonight, and then the next time it'll be the next two. But there are four points. Number one, the gossip's words go down easily. That's verse 22. We look at that in a moment. Secondly, the gossip's words seem precious, but they are actually rubbish. Rubbish. Thirdly, the gossip disguises hatred in fine words. Verse 24. And fourthly, the gossip is not to be trusted. Verse 25. But firstly, tonight, first of two points, the gossip's words go down easily. Now, just before I begin on this, let me give you a wee quote from Charles Bridges. Charles Bridges is probably most people would agree that have read his commentary on Proverbs. He is more than likely the best commentary on the book of Proverbs. Well, he says about this sin of tale-bearing or gossip, this is a quote, "The sin here described is a disgrace to society." That's how he opens it up. And he's spot on. "The sin here described is a disgrace to society." The gossip's words go down easily. Now it says in verse 22, the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. What do these words mean? The Hebrew words, it's very important we understand what the Hebrew words mean here. The word talebearer means whisperer or backbiter, because the gossip usually whispers in soft tones so that others don't hear. The talebearer or the slanderer or the whisperer. Now it says, the words of a talebearer are as wounds. Now you see that wee word for is translated wounds in our Bibles. That Hebrew word, when you look it up, it actually means not wounds as in an injury. It means gulp or swallow quickly and greedily. That's what the Hebrew word means. gulp down or swallow something down quickly and greedily. Like a dainty morsel. The word can be translated like a dainty morsel, some nice type of food. Doesn't mean wounds, the Hebrew word. So the words of a talebearer are gulped or swallowed down greedily, and they go down, they descend, a completed tense verb, once and for all, into the innermost parts of the belly. The seat of hunger, the belly is. The mind is the seat of our mental faculties. Right into the person that they go. So the meaning of this verse is not really as obvious as what it seems to be just from the way this verse is translated in our Bibles. That's why I called the point the gossip's words go down easily. A talebearer or a gossip's words are gulped and swallowed greedily. And they, once and for all, go down into the hearer like food goes down into your belly when you eat it. So the gossip's words, the verse teaches, slip down into the hearer's mind and stain the reputation of a person, and they slip down oh so easily. What's the teaching? The teaching is clear. God is teaching us another aspect of sinful human nature, our sinful natures. People, without any exemptions, and including myself, sinful humanity hungers for gossip. It's an aspect of the sin nature. Gossip is very appetizing to the sin nature. Tale bearing, the words of a gossip, they go down oh so easily. It's so easily to slip into it, isn't it? It is. It goes down oh so easily like cod and chips. When you get cod and chips, it's not hard to eat if you like cod and chips. Most people do. It goes down oh so easily. So the gossip's tales, the Bible teaches, are gulped and swallowed greedily. Human beings, in other words, are susceptible and have an appetite for gossip, the verse is teaching. And that is the teaching of verse 22. What is gossip? Gossip is popular. That's what the verse is teaching. It's popular in sinful humanity. Now, any application and illustration? Of course there is. Look at the evidence. Just for the simple truth of the biblical teaching of this one verse, how accurately it describes human nature, doesn't it? How it proves over and over again, the Bible proves that people have not changed in over 3,000 years since Proverbs was written. What are the most popular magazines today that are sold in the world? You don't need me to answer that question, do you? The gossip magazine. What are the most popular programs on television? The gossip programs. What are the most popular newspapers? The gossip newspapers. The trash, gossipy newspapers and magazines used to be called Hello, OK, and the soap operas are probably all new ones now, even more extreme. And what are these programs and magazines, what are they full of? Who's on what diet? Eh? Who's dating who? See? Who's wearing what? Which TV personality is wearing what? How interesting. Well, who's breaking up with who? Who's having an affair behind whose back? who's going for cosmetic surgery. And what cosmetics do they use? It's all this type of gossipy stuff. A whole load of gossip is the most popular TV programs, magazines, and newspapers 3,000 years after this was written, where God says the words of a gossip, they go down oh so easily because human nature loves gossip. How right the Bible is. The gossip's words go down easily. People would rather read filth like is contained in the magazines and the soap operas than they would if you said to them, look, come to my house and I'll lend you a good book on theology to read. There's very few people who'd be interested. Or I have a book on astronomy to study the stars and the distances of the planets and the variableness of the brightness of the stars, the magnitude. Not many people would be interested in that. I have a book on physics or history. No. But see that wee magazine that tells me what Prince so-and-so wears when he goes on holiday, or what perfume Lady so-and-so likes. Oh, I can go and buy that and then I'm special. Makes me feel like I'm a star. Pure rubbishy gossip. Because human beings have a natural appetite for gossip, a hunger for the words of a talebearer. That's what Proverbs 26:22 teaches us. The words of a gossip are as readily and quickly consumed as a fish supper or a bar of chocolate or a bag of crisps. So I ask myself and you the question at the same time, because it's easy for me to pick on certain programs on TV that I never watch because they disgust me, but it doesn't mean I have never gossiped. There's other areas that, and it's also easy for any of us to slip into gossip. So I ask ourselves the question, myself included, what about us? What is our appetite for, believer? Do we have an appetite for God's word? Do we have an appetite for the truth, for God himself, that we want to know Jesus more, that we want to walk with him? Do we have an appetite for facts? Or are we merely subjective in our reasoning? See, most people today are utterly subjective in their reasoning. You see it coming out, and I'm always tempted to get sidetracked into philosophy, but I'll not. Are our appetites biblical appetites, or are we sometimes like the world? Because whatever our hunger is for, whatever our appetite is for, shows the desires of our heart. The true desires of our heart. Christians, let us stick to the Bible and fill our minds with the Word, and let us not have an appetite to gossip or encourage gossip, but to have an appetite for truth and facts in God. The gossip's words go down easily. That's the first point. The second point tonight is this. From the next verse, the gossip's words seem precious, but they are in actuality rubbish. Rubbish. You see, it says in verse 23, burning lips and a wicked heart are like, the word for illustration, are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. What a verse. Burning lips. Burning. The Hebrew word means kindling, hot, on fire. Burning lips means lips, and a wicked means wicked heart. Now the heart, when the Bible talks about the heart, you know it's talking about the real person, what they're like, the inner man or woman. So burning lips wicked person, a wicked heart, is like a potsherd, is illustrated in a potsherd. Now, when the potsherd is an earthenware vessel, more than likely made of clay. And if you look it up, what it means, in Bible times, it was the very cheapest of vessel, plate, cup that you could get. The very cheapest rubbish. Is like a potsherd, covered, overlaid, or enameled with silver, ornamental silver. Silver is of value, but it's not silver. It's silver qualified by the word dross. And the word dross means refuse, rubbish, or the American term garbage. Garbage. So when you put all those words together, God is saying here, burning lips, hotly pursuing their prey, talking about the gossip, the burning lips of a wicked person, the person with a wicked heart, are just like, are illustrated by a cheap earthenware vessel that's overlaid with a shiny silver veneer so that it looks valuable, but it's silver dross. It's total rubbish. It's just for looks. It looks good, but it isn't. It's just deceit, deceitful. So what does the verse teach then? The gossip's words may have an outward appearance of value and preciousness. The gloss or the overlay may give the impression that what they're saying is of value. But it's pure deceit. It's a lie. It's not real value. It's actually the gossip's words are just silver dross. They are usually garbage, rubbish, or refuse that is painted up to look important or precious. But in the truth, the gossip is talking absolute rubbish. Garbage. See, the Bible's strong, isn't it? What God's saying here in the verse is, if somebody's a gossip and their lips are in fire and they've got a wicked heart, see, the words that come out of their mouth are a load of garbage. That's what God's saying. But people, their words are rubbish. Illustrate the teaching? Yep. From when I started, when I was young, taps in the bathroom and taps in the kitchen were like a grey, metal-y colour. You got some that were chromed. But then, as I got a wee bit older, all of a sudden you'd see these taps and door handles appearing. And boy, they look like gold, don't they? Covered in a brass, shiny. It looks almost like gold. How extravagant they look. Are they really? They'll go loose and break in a few months. Start dripping after months. Because they're pure, utter rubbish with a wee veneer of looking value put on the top of them. That's exactly what this verse is saying. They're not gold at all. One commentator says about this verse, silver dross is a deposit left over after refining silver. It was spread over earthenware, and this gave it the look and feel of silver, but it soon wore off. He goes on and he says, the gossip, his words and smiles and handshakes and kisses are just a coating of glaze. Soon wears off. End of quote. Charles Bridges, speaking of the gossip, says in this verse, yet it is often covered, the gossip's words, His words are often covered with flattering garb, as the worthless potsherd is covered with a thin coat of silver. The tongue of the just, he goes on to say, is as choice silver. But here is only silver dross. The heart of the wicked is worth nothing. End of quote from Charles Bridges. Do note, actually, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 20, because it fits in quite well. It does say in that verse that the tongue of the just is as or like choice silver. Choice silver. And the heart of the wicked is of little worth. A just person, when they speak, different from a gossip, their words, God says, are like choice silver, valuable, precious, worth holding on to. When the wise and the just speak, they speak precious, valuable words. But by comparison, Proverbs 26, verse 23, the wicked's heart and their words are just dross, valueless, an appearance of importance, but in actual fact, they are rubbish. The Bible teaches that the gossip talks silver-coated nonsense that is of no value at all. What the gossip will present to us is presented as important. It is presented as something we want to hear. Valuable information. But the truth is, it's not very valuable. It's worthless. It's a gloss of importance. It's not what it appears to be. The gossip's tales will not stand up to the scrutiny of an inspection. So that's verse 23. Burning lips and a wicked heart. Sorry, I'm missing the thing. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. So Christians, let us take what a gossip says or a gossip writes with a pinch of salt. It's mostly gloss and trash. Let me tell you a story that's true, and I personally knew this man, and he was a very good man in many ways, but like all men, we have faults, don't we? And this man had a wife, and they had three children. He's now with the Lord. And in his mother-in-law's home, on the mantelpiece, there were two lovely vases. And they looked very, very old. And every time this man would visit with his family, his mother-in-law's house, he would look at those vases and lift them and look at them, and the cracks and the enamel and everything. And he was also at the time watching that program on TV, the Antique Roadshow. And he came to believe that these two vases on the mantelpiece were very, very old antiques that were probably worth a fortune. And he talked to the mother-in-law about it. She says, I just picked up in a second-hand shop. And he thought, she has picked up something she doesn't know is so, so valuable. And this man, one of his faults was he liked to show off. And his mother-in-law, you know, was a very kind woman. And if the children would come and would say, oh, Granny, that's a lovely candle, or that's a lovely... She would just give it to them. And eventually, this man, he said to the mother-in-law, I really love... Those vases are lovely. And you know what the mother-in-law did? She wrapped them in paper, and she says, you can have them. And this man, he took those vases home, and he was happy. He thought he'd got these precious antique vases, and he got them home, and he put them on the mantelpiece. And this is where I come into the story. I'll not tell you how, but... And I got to see these vases after he'd had them for a few years. And I heard the story. Those vases are very, very old. They're antiques. And everyone that came into the house, he would tell them how old these antique vases are. And they were probably worth an absolute fortune. And after a while of watching the Antique Roadshow, he decided to get an expert in to look at the vases and value them. And the expert came in, and it cost him £25 or more for the expert to examine the vases. And the conclusion was this: these are common, cheap vases with an appearance of being antique, and they're probably worth about £15 for the pair. After that, he stopped showing them off and they disappeared from the mantelpiece. You see, now I'm not saying that to criticise the man, anyway, any of us can make a mistake, but they had just the appearance of worth. Just the appearance of value. Just the appearance of age. But in reality, it was just a wee veneer. An outward show. They were really cheap rubbish. God says, so the gossip's tales appear exactly like that. But in actuality, they're just a load of rubbish. They're dross. We'll do the next 2 points the next time I'm here. But let me conclude and draw a little application. I've given 2 points. The gossip's words go down easily. Verse 22. Human beings have a natural appetite for gossip, and it goes down like roast chicken dinner. Secondly, the gossip's words seem to be precious, but they're usually a load of garbage. Verse 23. Silver-coated trash. The appearances are deceitful. So, Christian, application to us. Let us not hunger for gossip. Let us not believe gossip. And let us remember that it's most likely a load of rubbish. It's only the just person's words or the wise person's words that are precious. The gossip's words are rubbish. We've all experienced this in real life, haven't we? Where someone says something and what the advice they're giving you, it seems oh so precious and valuable. I remember many years ago when I was working as a welder in a factory, the pension man came round, private pensions, and boy, he spun us a tale of how we would take out this pension and you put away so much and it would be worth such and such when you came to retire. I paid into that pension scheme for about 10 years. Between 110 and £120 a month. And after 10 years, I got a wee letter from the pension scheme, and it was a pension forecast of how much per month I would get when I retire. Not inflation related. Now, I've been putting away 110 or 120 a month. My pension forecast was when I retired, I would get £60 a month. Half of what, if it hit it under the floorboards, I would at least have got 120 a month. The man's words had an appearance of value. They were pure rubbish. Pure rubbish. Garbage. And many people like to toy with their marriage vows nowadays, don't they, in the Western world? And they come and they promise all sorts and this, that and the other and all the wee tweaks, and yet many people don't mean a word of it. I know personally a man who got married and the woman promised all sorts. You know, the very next day after the marriage, she went to the registry office and changed her name back to her original name. She only wanted to get, and the divorce was in, well, not divorce, the separation was within months. He only found out about the name change when he was going to see the baby in the hospital, and his own wife's name was under, he couldn't find her because it wasn't under his name anymore. Oh, she, and now she's into him. They're a shoulder for the money. That's all it was. See, those choice, supposedly valuable words that come out of our mouth, they're nothing but a load of rubbish. Gold digger, a money hunter. And it's not just women do that, by the way. I'm not blaming women for it by any means. I remember, better be careful, but there's a man years ago, and he was known to a number of pastors, stroke ministers, as Mr. Blow. Because after you got to know him for a while, you realised that when he was telling you a story, it was mostly 99% wind. And he told us, so he called him so-and-so blow, because he liked the blow. He's a blowhard. And for example, one of the stories was at the fraternal, he said, you know, do you know I am an associate minister in a Presbyterian church way down near the border? The truth, there was always a little grain of truth in there. What the truth of that story was that he preached one Sunday in August every year in that church. But it was so grossly exact. I'm an associate minister in a Presbyterian. Not at all. And there was another one. I have got a cabin cruiser. Oh, he's into boats and sailing. He's got a cabin cruiser. And he was going to take various of us out in the cabin cruiser. And one of the ministers said to him, with my medical problem, I assume there's toilets in the cabin cruiser. Oh, no. See when a couple of ministers went down to the dock in Belfast to see the cabin cruiser? You know what the boat was, honestly. Like, it was a dinghy with an outboard motor. See, the little bit blown, but the words that sounded oh so grand and so fancy were just a load of rubbish. He's actually lying. It is lies, isn't it? All too often we hear words and they have such an appearance of value, but in actuality, they're dross. They're at no value. That's what this passage is teaching. Need I mention the politicians? Oh, yes, Mr. Prime Minister. The 6th of December 2019, Mr. Johnson said, there will be no charge or check on goods coming from Great Britain to Northern Ireland. Funny that, isn't it? When I was talking to a car dealer the other week and he bought a car in England and it was 3 weeks of custom coming across being checked. Because our Prime Minister's words are silver dross. Rubbish from the liar. And they're all like it. Freedom Day on the 21st of June. Was it true? No. It was rubbish. Why? My friend posted on Facebook the other day. I recopied. It was so good. He says, national hysteria. The new COVID-19 Delta variant death rate rises from zero to zero. And yet there is all the hysteria, isn't there? Zero to zero. What a joke from a bunch of liars. Liars whose words appear important. But when you find out afterwards the reality, it's an absolute lie. Do you know many people? Freedom of Information Act. Do you know many people? Here's a fact. How many people have died off COVID in Northern Ireland since February 2020? Do you know many people? About 134. Now, lots more have died with COVID. They've had it, but it wasn't what killed them. 134 have died of COVID. The others died of other things. That was from the NHS in Northern Ireland. The man that wrote the wee booklets that were out there, Luke Barker, he showed me the letter. NHS 134. I think it was around about that. I can't remember it exactly, but that's it. But oh, it was a mass, this, that, and the other. Nonsense. When the facts come out, you'll see the dross and the dross and the dross. We've all met people like that. But I want to close by saying to anyone who's listening, either in this building or on the internet, and you're not saved, I want to ask you a question in the light of what we've looked at tonight concerning the gossip and the purpose of life. Listen, what does your life consist of? If you don't have Jesus Christ, what does your life consist of? Soap operas, gossipy tales, It consists of idiocy and irrelevant nonsense. That's generally it, isn't it? I know a man, and he's still not a Christian, and he used to go to pubs most nights after work. He wasn't a drunkard. And he used to go to pubs, and he said he went there because he enjoyed the conversations and the talk and the banter. Now, quite a number of years ago, this dear man got cancer. He's still alive. He's still with us. He got cancer. And that made him look at life a bit differently. And you know, since he got cancer, he never entered the door of a pub again. Didn't become a Christian, but he never entered the door of a pub again. And all of a sudden, he became interested in the beauty of creation and going for walks. And his best friend asked him, why the change? He says, the only thing I regret, he says, is wasting all those evenings in the pubs and not being with my family, listening to people talk absolute rubbish. End of quote. That's his words. See, you don't hear wisdom in the pub, no matter what you think. If you think you do, it says a lot about your wisdom. Pub wisdom is idiocy and rubbish. So often we spend our lives doing things that are nothing. They're worthless. They're rubbish. They're nothing. But I want to ask you, if you're not a Christian, what will that happen to you? Will you have been listening to gossipy rubbish your whole life when it comes to the end? Or will you have listened to precious words, the words of the wise, the words of God Jehovah, those that are as choice silver, when God says, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there's none else, no other way. What speech or what tongue will you have listened to when it comes to the end of your life? John Calvin, and with this I close, says, the tongue is the portrait of your mind. What words? The gossip's mind is full of garbage that comes out their mouth. The wise man or woman, their mind is full of choice silver, and it comes out their mouth as well. God bless you, and thank you for your attention this evening. Amen.